Pas parce qu'avant c'était de la fringue, des habits.
At least it's food, he says, and it'll draw a lot of young people. Besides, says Rigatier, it's not McDonald's that threatens us cheesemakers, it's people going on diets. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris. This is NPR News.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good morning. It's the opening market report on WYLL AM 580. I'm Jim Meadows in for Brian Moline. The time is 8:50. Quick look at some headlines. Grain futures were higher yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade. Wheat for September delivery was up $8.25 to $5.1075 a bushel. December corn rose 2 cents at $3.8550 a bushel. December oats gained $3.50 at $2.4225 a bushel, while November soybeans advanced $11.50 to $9.4475 a bushel. Beef and pork were higher in the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle was up $2.83 to $1.4680 a pound. August feeder cattle was $2.50 higher to $2.1125 a pound, while October lean hogs rose 1.50 cents to $0.6505 a pound. CNH Industrial, the Italian maker of construction and agriculture machinery, says second quarter earnings dropped by more than half on lower sales of combines and larger tractors in North and South America. CNH Industrial, which was formed from the full merger of Fiat Industrial with its CNH subsidiary, reported today that profits dropped to 178 million euros, that's $196 million U.S., in the 3 months ending June 30th, from 399 million euros a year earlier. Global stock markets rose today as Chinese shares rebounded 3.4% after a record sell-off, and attention turned to a Federal Reserve meeting that might give clues about the timing of a U.S. interest rate hike. Now let's take a look at weather, agricultural weather, from Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. Good morning, Drew.
We have some relatively light winds across the region, temperatures running mostly in the 70s across the area. Some 60-degree readings occurring across portions of the area from Nebraska into Minnesota and Wisconsin at this hour. There's only a little bit of shower activity that is showing up on radar in random locations from Missouri, or actually from Kansas into parts of Illinois. Most of the precipitation fell apart in the last few hours. It was a very stormy night across parts of Iowa and northern Missouri, however. Some of those areas ended up with some substantial rains. In fact, just south of Des Moines, we saw rain totals reach up over 5.5 inches. The precipitation in that region did result in some flooding. There were a number of locations in southern Iowa reporting anywhere from 2 to 3 inch plus amounts, and we are going to continue to watch that area. It's going to see some additional rainfall periodically over the coming week, and there may be some additional flood potentials. But Iowa was hit earlier this week, too, and so the ground is certainly wet now from northwestern Missouri through a big part of that state. For the lower eastern portions of the Midwest, the environment is a little bit different. We've actually seen some improvement in our excessive moisture situation. There's still some pockets out there that are struggling with that issue, but a large part of Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio have seen some firmer conditions in the soil evolve here recently. And as we go forward through this week, we're going to see an erratic rainfall pattern for the most part. And so some areas will see some rain, others will not. I think the temperatures will be warm enough over this coming week that we'll most likely see a net drying environment for quite a few areas. the light showers that will pop up periodically will probably not be enough to counter evaporation, and so we'll still see a net drying environment. Now, there will be some showers that will refire here later this afternoon across parts of the eastern Midwest. We'll see these storms kicking off across portions of Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, maybe parts of Illinois. The precipitation is going to be mostly light, but there will be a few stronger thunderstorms out there. There's still plenty of moisture for the atmosphere to tap into, and so some locally strong thunderstorms that might produce a half inch to an inch of rain may occur. Most of the precipitation will probably be a lot lighter than that. This disturbance will be bringing in slightly cooler air to the region. I don't think it's going to cool off in a major way, but we will at least see a little bit of a relaxing in the temperatures. And we'll see a couple of other disturbances coming through the Midwest as we move out into the period from, the weekend on into the middle part of next week. Looks like Friday night into Saturday there'll be a little disturbance that will come through again, Iowa and
I'm sorry, we've lost Drew Lerner there from World Weather Incorporated. We do thank you for bringing us the agricultural weather today. Time is 8:55, and in a moment we hope to talk with Bill Gentry for a close look at the markets. Right now in Kansas City, hard red winter wheat for September is down 2 at 5.03 1/4. Hard red winter wheat for December down 1.5 at 5.23. In Chicago, September wheat is at 5.06 1/4. It's down 4.5. December wheat is at 5.15 3/4, down 4.5 as well. September corn is at 3.72. It's just moved to 3.71 3/4, down 3.25. December corn is at 3.82, down 3.5. July corn at 4.04 1/2. It is down 3.5. Soybeans are up. November beans at 9.50 1/2, moving around a bit. Let's say 9.50 1/2. Still wants to move. 9.50 1/2 up 5.75. 9.56 1/4 for January soybeans. 9.56 now at 5.25. A lot of activity quickly on the beans. November soybeans at 9.14 1/2 up 4. And now let's say good morning to Bill Gentry. How you doing, Bill?
Good morning, sir. Glad to be with you.
Okay, I've been reading some a little bit of activity on the boards right now. To put it very simply, grains are down and soybeans are up.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting to view that. The corn market, I think, is poised to maybe find a little bit of a recovery. I think timing wise, we've been down about 7 or 8 days. And timing-wise, it seems due. Looking at, I think you gave some of the prices. But corn's down 2 or 3 cents. Beans up about a dime. Meal prices recovering nicely, up about $3.80 a ton. And the soybean oil is a little bit defensive. Wheat down 4 or 5. I was cautiously optimistic that the wheat market might give us a little bit of a leadership role to the upside. But I think considering we're still a little bit above the world price values, that's maybe a little bit more optimistic than I can expect. Hog prices bouncing nicely up about $1.50. Cattle prices just mildly defensive. Feeders are trying to follow, basically respect the corn break, being up about 17 cents. Right there, I think, is a teeter-totter. And if the corn market were to recover, I think the feeders would come under pressure pretty quickly. It's interesting to note that hog prices are about half a cattle, so we know at the stores that the consumers are definitely getting a bargain at the current price levels. Dollars about even. Crude's down about 33 cents. I guess the bottom line is, as we approach the end of the month, the recent price action suggests week longs have stepped back from their positions. We're looking at the midweek values down about 20 cents in corn. Yesterday's sizable reduction in open interest for corn reinforces basically the idea that the longs are liquidating and they're losing hope. When you think about how much the open interest went down, they're telegraphing the downward correction remains in progress. I guess the bottom line, what I would think is, as we approach the end of the month, we look at the old price support down around 360, should be respected. We really see that the reduction in the crop size is significant, especially in the eastern belt. So going forward, additional weakness is probably not warranted as much as some bears may think. beans appear to be a similar state for the third week of decline. And as we've mentioned previously, we're evaluating the likelihood, pardon me, of this correction basically coming to an end and starting a recovery process. Looking for a catalyst in the grand scheme of things. Looking at the crop conditions, it may look a little bit better from the road, but when you look down deep, it's probably a real questionable situation. In our view, the crop is getting smaller, and the street estimates need to come down. And loss has taken its toll, and we'll probably watch and see how it continues. But in our view, the longs are liquidating, and we'll probably look for a smaller crop size going forward. Thanks. This is Bill Gentry with Risk Management Commodities. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Quick look, live cattle for August is at 146.02 and a half, and it is down 2 cents, 2.5 cents. Feeder cattle for August at 211.42 and a half, it's up 17.5 cents. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. The time is 9 o'clock.
Good morning. A controversy over Planned Parenthood is forcing politicians to choose sides. Few have defended the organization as forcefully as Hillary Clinton. More in this hour of Morning Edition from NPR News. Coming up, we'll report on the family business, South Korea style. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Americans may think of a family business as some small enterprise, but in South Korea, a few giant family-owned corporations dominate the economy. Also this hour, we'll ask what a shift in U.S. strategy in Syria really means. And a Native American group in Oregon plans to open a casino unless rival gambling interests and another tribe stop them. It's Wednesday, July 29th. Former Senator Elizabeth Dole is 79 years old. And the news is next.